Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I spoke about last week, but which I want to just do a simple demonstration for, so that perhaps you understand it better. And it is very important, extremely important. And it's basic, it's really basic, as basic can get, but it's very important because, you see, the Apostle Peter says, I'll not get tired of reminding you before I die. He didn't use those words, but that's what he meant. Because there are certain things which you have to keep on reminding people all the time. And maybe because they are not the most pleasant things, it's easier for people to forget. So now there are certain things I'm going to have to remind you so that you understand. Now, I spoke about, I've even made this demonstration before, but I just want you to take care. You know, there are things which you have to keep on talking about, like giving, because people easily forget, because it's not good to the flesh. But that's what I'm talking about today. Don't run away. Okay? I told you there was a time half the church walked out. But today I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else. Now, I want you to... You'll help me, Robert, you first come here. And Dale, you first come. I want us to demonstrate something here. Now, last time I was telling you about, just stand there, about spirit, soul, and body. And I told you that if you've been born again, if you get born again, say, when you're 20 years old, how old are you? How old are you? You first come. Sorry. To use you in this. Now, imagine you are 20 years old or 25 years old. What age do these guys look? Never mind. Now, and that's when you get born again. Now, imagine this is the body. Even works in a gym. This is the soul, and this is what? The spirit. Okay? Stand here. A bit further, just a bit further. Yeah. Now, before you got born again, these two worked together. If the body felt it wanted something, the soul is the mind, the will, and your emotions. Mind, that is your intellectual mind, which you use to, you know, for logic. Your will, which you decide at the seat of, you know, your decision, I will not do that or I will do that. That's your soul. And your emotions, all that, the soul. So the soul is the mind, your will, and your emotions. The body, you know. Okay? So these two have worked together. So if the body wakes up in the morning and says that today I feel like not going to work, let's say. And it's a day of working. And the body says, today I just want to sleep in and watch some movies and cover myself with a duvet and what, maybe it's riding outside. That's the body. I don't feel like. Now, the voice of the body has a voice. The voice of the body is called feeling. I don't feel good. I don't feel what. That's the body speaking. I don't feel like doing that. That's the body. So the body has a voice. It's called feeling. Now, the soul also has a voice. Usually, it is called reason or logic, but it manifests itself in other ways, like emotion, okay? Where you are attracted to somebody and all that, and that comes from the soul. So, the soul also has a voice. Now, this one doesn't feel like going to work. The body speaks. So, now the soul starts thinking about what to do. Call your boss and tell him ABC. Okay? Now that is the mind thinking, how are we going to escape work? So the mind will come up with a plan to fulfill what the body wants. You understand? And there are so many other examples I can give, but I don't need to give them. Amen? Where the body feels something, and it is up to the mind now to work a way out, to gratify what the body feels. Now, these two have worked together for 25 years, and they have been friends. No interruption. Whatever the body wants, the mind sets about to get happen. You know? The body is attracted to a beautiful girl, the mind starts thinking, how do we get her number, and so on. Now, that's how it has worked for 25 years. Then you get born again. Now, before you are born again, this side of you is not there. Now you get born again and enter the spirit. Now the spirit also has a voice. It's called conscience, or it is called intuition. Now imagine this is a baby. She's 9, but you imagine she's like a real baby, like a baby, because you just got born again. So it's a toddler, a real toddler. Now, these ones are all these years old. This one is a toddler. But the trouble is the toddler always wants to be on top, because the toddler is the one who has the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God operates through the toddler. The others are supposed to obey the toddler. But the problem is the others don't want to obey. Now, these two working together without the Spirit are called the flesh. That's what the Bible calls the flesh. The body and the unrenewed mind are called the flesh. So now there is a battle between these two and this one. In the red corner is these two. In the blue corner, what's your name? Okay, Dixie. In the blue corner. Now there is a war between these two. So now who is going to win the war? Usually at the beginning, these ones will win. Okay? Obviously. Isn't it obvious? Yeah. Now, until you do what the scripture says and you start renewing your mind, or what the scripture says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Okay? Now, the only person who can shift is the soul. The body is made of dirt, and it is going to dirt. It has no God in it, and it will never have any God in it. Okay? It is just dirt. You understand? So it is that. It's going to rot in the grave sometime, and, you know, worms will have a nice time. So it always has its opinion, which is going to be totally contrary. Now the mind is savable, or the soul is savable. It can be saved. That's why the scripture says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now what happens is, it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Now when you start renewing your soul, after, you know, by doing what? Reading the word of God, really, and listening to the word of God. Now the soul starts not liking what the body is saying, and it starts drifting towards the side of the spirit, because the word of God is spirit, okay? Now, after some time, now the battle has shifted. Now it is these two versus this one. Now this one is suddenly the loser, because the mind has gone in the direction of the spirit. Now, the more your mind or your soul is in the direction of the spirit, the more you are called spiritual, because what you produce will be... So now when the spirit says something, which will always be spiritual, okay, your spirit and the spirit of the Lord are one. You see, it says that in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Who is, you know, joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So now, 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 says that, read it and we see. 1 John 3, 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, what is born of God is the spirit. Now, the spirit is incapable of sinning. When your body and your soul sin, the spirit is not in agreement. And that's why you feel bad about it, yet at some stage you do not feel bad about it. So this one is always saying, no. So now, when he says he cannot sin, of course this scripture has confused so many people, because they know that we are born of God, and yet, you know, sometimes things go what? a bit offside. You understand? But now it's what goes offside is these two working together. But now this one is incapable of sinning, born of God. The Spirit of God implanted inside here. And as Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. So everything God does, he does it through here. Now the spirit in its nature is perfect. So everything that God has given you dwells here. All prosperity, all health, all well-being, everything that God has given you dwells in the spirit. Now the question is, it cannot get to the spirit, to the other side, without passing through the soul. Now that's what makes the soul extremely important. Now the minute the soul aligns with the spirit, now the body is defeated. Because if the spirit says, we are pursuing something, we are going to declare 3-day fast, the body cannot like that. The body will scream. But if the soul agrees with the spirit, the body is in problems. Because there is nothing it can do. So it will wake up in the morning and there is no food. And then at the, you know, and so on. And then that goes. So the body remains always fighting, but losing, as long as the soul is in this direction. But if the soul shifts here, then the spirit will be the one losing, and the flesh will be the one winning. And then you'll be called a carnal believer. You understand? Now, the reason sometimes people, for instance, have dreams. You have a dream and you forget it. You've had that, haven't you? Yeah. Do you know why? Because the memory is here. Okay? The dream is here. The memory is here. But the memory is too far away from where? From there. So in your spirit, you know you dreamt. But your memory cannot connect to it because it is too far away from the spirit. Now, when that happens, you just spend time in the Word of God. Try it, you will see. You will dream and you remember it immediately, because once it comes from the spirit, it goes to your memory, which is in the, you know, in the soul, and then you wake up in the morning when the dream is so vivid, so clear, and things like that. So now, okay, you can go and see it. I just want to... So now, what do you do with the spirit? Okay? Now, because the spirit is a toddler, you can grow it, as I told you last time. How do you grow it? You grow it by reading the Word of God, which is spirit. Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So you read it, you grow the spirit, you feed it. Because it feeds, just like you feed the body with food and it grows. And the mind also, you feed it with what? With knowledge. So you go to school and study and what and all that. And that's just feeding your mind. Teaching you numbers, what, language, all that is your mind. So the mind has its food. The body has its food, which you know very well. Pork ribs and so on. Now the spirit has its food, which is the Word of God, but also praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you actually get muscles. Your spirit grows fast. Now, when you pray in tongues while meditating on the Word of God, you actually grow in your spirit. Now, imagine those people, the way they were here. Now, with the soul close to the spirit, that's already a victory for the spirit. But imagine now the spirit also grows to the size, to the stature of these people. And now the two of them, now imagine that little girl grows to the stature of Robert, and now they are together. And they are now suddenly fighting against Deo. Then Deo has no chance. Okay? So there are two ways of improving your spiritual. Number one, you grow your spirit. Okay? And number two, you renew your mind with the Word of God. The only way you renew your mind is the Word of God. Because it will change your thinking. It will divide. That's Hebrews 4:12 says that. Hebrews 4:12, it says that... For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit. Now you see, they are supposed to, but the Word of God is what splits the soul and the spirit. Okay? And then it says, and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. So now the Word of God will come and split. And then by reading the Word of God, you know what is from the soul and what is from the spirit. Okay? So somebody will come and tell you, God is telling me this about you, but it's from his soul, not from his spirit. You understand? So it's fake. Eh? Because God does not sit in the soul. The soul is just a pathway from the spirit to the manifestation. So now, God speaks to the spirit. But so many times people will hear their souls speaking, their mind, their will. They like something. So God has told me. But it's actually their will which has told them. Okay, I like this. All their emotions. Okay? And you've heard that, you know, especially the girls saying how God has told me that this is going to be my husband. But it's not God. It's her soul. Or her emotions. So she builds pictures. And now, by the way, you can even dream. Not all dreams are from the spirit. Some are from the soul. Actually, so many are from the soul. Okay? Usually, dreams from the spirit, you can tell the difference. Some dreams are from the soul. If I start thinking about, let's say, a Range Rover, and morning, evening, I'm thinking about, I'm going to dream about it. But the dream is coming from my subconscious mind, which is my soul, part of the soul, not the spirit. But a dream can come out of nowhere, and I know this one has come from my spirit. So now you have to be able to discern. That's why it says the word of God, okay? Piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. So now you know by reading the word of God what is from the soul, what is from the spirit. And then when you're reading the word of God or hearing as you are now, you're actually feeding both the spirit, okay, and the soul. Transforming. Now, that's why it says in Romans 12, verse 2, it says that, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the conformity to the world is through your mind. Because there are people whom I can tell that no matter how much you say spiritual things, their mind is attuned to the world and they are not going to change in certain areas. And there is nothing you can say. And I know I've seen people who have stared in the face of spirituality, but they will still not believe it. They will prefer to go with, you know, because their mind is attuned to the world. And everything the world says, they find it easier to believe that. Okay? Now, of course, spiritual things are presented in form of mystery sometimes. And they are not understood. The mind cannot comprehend them because they are beyond the mind. And that's why the scripture says mysteries, the mysteries of God. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is what's a mystery? Okay, who wants to volunteer? Okay, never mind. Okay, tell me. We shall hear you from there. Yes, actually, that's absolutely true. Thank you very much. Mystery is something that flies in the face of logic. That does not make sense. Okay? Does not make logical sense. For instance, if I told you, if you want to be rich, save money and invest, there's no mystery there. But if I told you, if you want to get rich, get what you have and sow it, now you have to believe that there is a mystery. Because there is no sense there. There is no logic there. Now, that's why the things of God, like, sometimes come in mystery. Now, so, if your mind is conformed to the world, you will actually believe the things of the world much easier than the things of God. So much easier. And so much easier for people to... And people even in church, who you bring something which is beyond what they can comprehend in their mind, and suddenly you feel a brick wall between you. Then they start trying to analyze it and what, and then before long they have reduced it and brought it down from heaven to earth where they are, and then they've lost it. Okay? They've lost it. There's somebody here whom I once gave a prophecy, and I told him that he's going to be called to South Africa to go and minister. But then, because you see, sometimes people dilute these things. You see, eh? Because if you are used to giving fake prophecies, when somebody gives you a prophecy, you'll think it's fake. Me, I don't give prophecies all the time. When I give you one, I know. I'm sure I have. Like, I'm not trying to prove anything to you. You understand? How many times do I come here and I give prophecies? So many times I don't. Maybe I should start doing it more often. Actually, I should. But when I do, I have seen something. Okay? Now, so I told him. Then after some time, he called me and told me, actually, what you told me is coming to pass. They have called me to Kenya. I was so annoyed. Because the prophecy told him clearly, you are going to go to places you've not gone before. That's what I told him. So I told him, have you been to Kenya before? Yes. Then I wanted to use bad words, but I didn't. Now he had destroyed. That's the end. It's not going to happen. You've humanized it. It was supposed to be something divine, you understand? But because for you, call people and give them prophecies which you're not sure about, you think that also me, I'm like that. I'm not. Okay, sometimes I might miss it. But the truth is, I'm not under any pressure to give prophecy to anybody. You see? So if I actually tell you something, it is something that I have, you know? Anyway, so he messed it up. Now, that's what happens. You pull something which is like divine and from up there, and you bring it down to earth properly. So I told him, okay, you go to Kenya. But that was the end of it. He didn't even go to Kenya. So, but now you see, because you have to, when you get the word, you have to understand that what is going to make the word come to pass is something divine. Because the word was given divinely. So you don't depend on yourself. Anyway, and so he says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. So you can be conformed or you can be transformed. Now there are certain things which I know for sure I face every day. And if I had not gone through the process of renewing my mind and seeing worldly things the way I see them and spiritual things the way I see them, they would have tumbled me. But I've been through that process. So I can tell what is, you know, I can see the world from a distance. And when I come and I affirm things and I say I'm going to be, I'm not looking at it from the position of the world. My mind was transformed to believe things of God. Now when something that is of spirit is said, no matter how incredulous it looks and out of this world, I'm open to believing it. Because I don't need any pathway. I don't need to see how it is going to happen and say, Hasha, how is that going to happen? You see, remember that man of Elisha, who Elisha said tomorrow they will be selling barley at what and wheat at what. And he said, even if God was to open the windows of heaven. You see, now he's trying to get a prophetic word and reduce it to his mind. And like a prophetic word has been spoken by God. And God is going to bring it to pass. You can't. And now there are people who are experts at that. And that's why even people get prophecies and they don't come to pass. Because they try to reduce it. Something divine. Just get the word and say, this is it. You promised this and stick to it. And let the force that brings it to pass be the force that gave it, which is the divine force, not what you're capable of. And says, and be renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So now, the disconnector from the world and all its systems is your mind. It says somewhere actually in Ephesians, I think, that you who were alienated in your mind from the commonwealth of Israel. And even here, there are people who are alienated in their minds completely. When we speak something, for instance, if I tell you that the blessings of the Lord make rich and he adds no sorrow, and that's the word of God, and I say, so you're supposed to be rich. Immediately in your mind, something crops up saying that that is not for you. That is for some other people. And you've alienated yourself in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Haven't there been instances where you disconnect yourself? Eh? So somebody says, healing. And you say, okay. I know people will get healed, but I'm not one of them. And suddenly you've alienated yourself. Yeah? Eh? And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works. Now notice he says, the mind and wicked works. The works, wicked works are in the mind. Okay? Because as I was demonstrating, the minute your soul and your spirit are together, your actions change. And the minute your soul and your body are together, we can also tell from your actions. Amen? Okay. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to read this scripture now. In light of what I've been telling you about strongholds. Okay? In light of what I've been telling you about strongholds, I want you to, or even before we go there, I'll first go to Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans 16, 17. I read this about two Fridays ago. Romans 16, 17. Now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Now, he's saying there are people whose work is to cause divisions and offenses. Now, there are people who are easily offended, but they don't get offended alone. They go and evangelize their offense and get other people. They want to draw a crowd. There's somebody who came to me and he had left a certain church. And every minute he was saying that, you know that pastor is like this. That pastor is like this. I told him, if you left, you leave. But you left with your body, but your mind is still there. Amen? Hey. It's like this, ladies, you leave a man, but you always say, hey, now even they fired him from the job. Hey. Which, if you left, you leave. You see, there are some people who can't leave. They live in percentages. You see, now if you are not there, don't be there. Huh? But of course, it also works for what? For men. Apparently, you left a woman, but you're still looking there. Who is she dating? And then and there's something terribly wrong with you, by the way, because if you don't know how to leave, you are going to mess yourself up. Now, he says that now those people go and evangelize offense. Now, when you start talking about that place there where we left, they do this, they do that. Eventually, you're going to go there and find people who are comfortable there and start telling them, but do you know that the pastor did this? Do you know that this happened? Are you aware? And now, you'll find people who are willing to what? To listen to your rubbish. And you'll topple them. And you topple their faith. Very easy. And what people don't understand is that if the devil can disconnect you from somebody who God had designated for you to learn from by offense, then he has finished you. You understand? Because now God is not going to designate somebody else just because they offended me. Guess who is going to be the loser? You. Amen? He's not going to change his mind just because you were offended. And some people are like, man, I saw you. Now, and the thing is, when those people get offended, they really, really want to evangelize other people. And they will come and realize, can you imagine? Now this, now the other. And now if the devil can disconnect you. And I remember one time I saw, there was even a man of God here in Uganda. A powerful man of God who was the first person to preach end time. Very powerful. He went and gave a vision and said the Lord told him. He met the Lord. And the Lord told him that if you died now, you would go to hell. And he gave the vision. And people were scared. Then somebody told it to me. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, that is not true. He said, no, but the Lord told him. No, the Lord cannot say what's not in the Bible. You see. And you know why he was going to hell? Apparently, he has relaxed and what? You don't go to hell for relaxing. You go to hell for not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eh? Like now you see, the reason the devil does that is he makes people. Now imagine if, like, you hear that, let's say I come here and say the Lord appeared to me and said, I should forget about heaven. You know how many of you would be disappointed, discouraged? You'd even leave Christianity and say, if now that one is also going to hell, then what about me? And now the devil has served his purpose. So if I don't have the brains to know that if what is I see in a vision is not in the word of God, it's fake. That's not what the word of God says. But you know, he put it out there and it really, really messed up so many people. Somebody came, some lady came and told me, can you imagine? Even so, Apostle so-and-so is also going to hell. Now what hope is there for us? The hope is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you have become lazy and you're not doing the work of God, you will still go to heaven. But you'll go to the first heaven. Okay? Yeah, and chill there, and, you know? Praise the Lord. But heaven, As long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, now you see, if you try to add things onto it, the most basic of scriptures, you've lost it. So I told her, that is not true. Then she said, how do you know it's not true? Because Jesus said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? He did not say whoever works very hard and does not chill. No. It's just that simple. It is John 3:16. That's what Jesus said. Now, that's what Jesus said, which I know he said. Now, what he told to you. Now, also on another instance, there was a lady in Nigeria. And I was shocked by how people believe these things. She came and said she had a vision. She went to hell. Then she said when she was there, she saw Archbishop Benson Idahosa. He was in hell. That why was he in hell? That he was eating people's tithe. Like, okay, rubbish. Like, you know, it was on Facebook. Then she said, all the powerful men of God were died. Powerful men of God. Now, if you know Archbishop Benson Idahosa, like, now that is supposed to discourage people. Because that was a general in the kingdom. Then she said, you know, if the devil can make heaven look unattainable, you know, like there was a time when lawyers were complaining that LDC exams are too difficult. So they stopped going there. We go there, we study, we fail. Because you see, if you can show people that there is no hope of passing, they will just leave your things and say, let us stay without your LDC. You understand? Now the devil also wants to do that. Heaven is not difficult to attain. You have to just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're already there. You're already seated there comfortably. You understand? Now, so then she said, over who also was in hell, that he was in WhatsApp chamber in hell being tortured by demons. Then she said, then the Lord sent her to warn the following people that also them they are going to hell. And then she mentioned all the powerful men of God in Nigeria. That one is also going to hell. That one is also going to hell. Well, if he does not repent. Now, I thought people would see that it's a stupid vision. Then I read the comments. Poor man, I don't know what is wrong. God is angry. And I'm like, the devil can really deceive people. You know, because they don't want to believe what is in the Bible. Anyway, now, he says, now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses. And there are so many among us, okay? And he says, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Go ahead. Next verse. Then he says, for those who are such, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but by they serve their own belly. Now I'll tell you this, in every ministry, there will be somebody who will come, join the ministry, and try to divert everybody to themselves. And what will they do? They will usually find something wrong that the man of God has done, and they are not zealous for anybody. They're actually just trying to create a kingdom within it. That's the Absalom spirit. You know the spirit of Absalom? Absalom was a son of David. We'll talk about that another time. But they are not interested in your well-being. They are just interested in diverting you to themselves. And I've had a number of them here, including that short lawyer whom I told you. Very useless guy. Very, very useless. People choose what they want. The guy was in front of the anointing, the top anointing. But for him, he wanted to be part of this government. He wanted to be seen as, you know, And apparently I was the sacrifice that I was supposed to be sacrificed for him to get his place in government. So he came to spy on me. You cannot defeat me. You see what the scripture says? Psalms 41, I think verse 11, if I remember well. Psalms 41. And people choose what they want, by the way. People can be in a place which is designated. What does it say? By this I know that you are well pleased with me. Because my enemy does not triumph over me. You cannot triumph over me. You cannot. It is impossible. Now, by this I know that God is well pleased with me. Because they have come, many, and they fail. They try to triumph over you, they do things, they fail. And by this I know that God is what? Well pleased with me. Because my enemies try and fail. Now, anyway, you see somebody, he was facing something which is valuable. Now, for us, and that's no different, by the way, from Judas. Where you are there. Now, all of us would think that if Jesus was alive, I wish I would be one of those people who are close to him. But Judas was close to him, and he chose 30 pieces of silver. And Christians today laugh at Judas. They don't know there are so many Judases here. I'm telling you the truth. There are so many Balaams. There are so many. People do things. And you look and say, this guy. Anyway, but let me not go there. But my point is this. Back to the scripture. They do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So that person comes and he has some apparently saving scheme. Some crap. And then he takes people's money. Okay? And he wants to draw people to himself. And he's busy fleecing them. And then you will find those who are willing to be fleeced by him. They are always there, even among you. They are there. Somebody just has to come. There are some of you who are like on the edge of what? Just a little shaking, you fall off. And that's how it is. And like, they're always there. And he says, but see what the Bible says. But they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You think you're serving the Lord? No, you're not. Serving his own belly. So I'm told he took over 400 million of people's money. All along pretending this and that and so on and so forth. Just a simple mufiri, you see, eh? Like a common thief. Scum of the earth. You understand? But they draw away people. They do that. I know. They always draw away. But who do they draw away? But their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering lips, flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, if you're somebody who can be overthrown by such a fool, then your heart is simple. You have a simple heart. Like you're not an intelligent person in the spirit, things of the spirit. Because if anybody understands, you know that this is... Do you know what happened with Absalom? I'm being forced to tell that story. Absalom was... He came and he wanted to take his father's kingdom. So he came and wanted to create a kingdom within his father's kingdom. So he went to the gate of the king, and everybody would come seeking to have redress. You'd give him a good ruling and say, if only I was king, everybody would be approaching me at what? So the Bible says he drew away the hearts of many people against David, the king. But some of them did not know. Some of them thought that Absalom was doing it with permission of David. So they didn't know. But guess what happened to them? They all died, even those who didn't know. Do you know why? They're supposed to know who the king is. So if somebody comes and draws you away simple, you have a simple mind. That's it. That's you. Because they're supposed to know, like, the hierarchy. Now, you read the story of Absalom. Okay. In this manner, Absalom acted towards Israel, who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, this is so easy among children of God. And I'm going to tell you why. By telling you one strong word before we finish. He stole the hearts of so many of the men of Israel. They come, oh man, if only I was here, if only. You see, the man of God can't even come to your home to pray for you. Me, I will come. Me, I won't. Do you have a better home than mine? Not waste my time. So now if you want somebody who's going to come and pray for you, you go and go for those people. Me, I will not. Okay? And now, praise the Lord. And now he said, Absalom saw the hearts of the men of Israel. Go ahead. And then, now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go to Hebron. Anyway, it's a long story, a story for another day. We'll not find it. But there is that place where even the innocent people, we are all died because of it, because they failed to know what is the hierarchy. You see, if somebody comes and tells you that this is, and you know it even at your places of work, if they say they have said we've done this, you have to know, has it come from the boss? If it has, then you do it. If it hasn't, then you don't. It's just simple. But anyway, let's go back to the other one. But they serve their own belly. Now they serve their own interest, and they never start anything. they always seek to build from what other people have started. And let me tell you, the easiest thing is to destroy. I dare anyone such person to start their own thing. They don't. They just come where people have started and then they start stealing away people. You know, come what? And if they steal away your heart, you have a simple mind. That's what the scripture says. People of simple what? Simple. And actually somewhere else in the scripture, it says the people with unstable souls. 2 Peter chapter 2. Unstable souls. Now I'll tell you this. Chapter 2 verse 14. People of unstable souls. Now the soul, your soul, can be enticing unstable souls. They have a heart. Forget about the adultery bit. That is talking about some other people up there. It says, enticing unstable what? Souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Now, notice, he calls them children, which means they are not unborn again. Amen? They are also children of what? Of God. But they are cursed. So he says, they beguile and bait and lure away unstable souls. Their hearts are trained in covetous, lust, greed. They are children of a curse, exposed to cursing. Now, remember, he says they are children. So when somebody does this, doesn't mean he's not born again. He is born again. And he's going to heaven. But he's going to mess people's lives up. And they do it all the time. And now when you see people who are on the edge and something small, somebody just comes and says, are you aware? Then the next thing is you've gone, you're talking words, saying so many things and what. And now you end up in a place where you're not going to be helped whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Now you see, the scripture says you can be stable. In Genesis, I think 39, when Jacob was giving, just 49, go to Genesis 49. Jacob called his sons together and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Okay? Gather together and hear you sons of Jacob and listen to Israel, your father. Verse 3. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellence of my dignity and the excellence of my power. Now you could think that means something big is coming. Unstable as water. Unstable as what? You shall not excel. Now, instability. Now there are so many people who are like that. They come, they give you a short time to pull something off as if you're a magician. They don't want to be taught. So you tell them something small. Let's say you give them a revelation. They try it once, twice. It does not work magic the way they thought it would. Then they what? They move on. Unstable. Now, those people never amount to anything. And I've seen so many of them in my years as a Christian. So many of them moving from church to church. There is a problem with every church. They'll move from church to church, to pastor, to apostle, to prophet, to what? Every place has a problem. Okay? And what they lack is just simple stability. If you feel that you're led to a certain place, be stable. Now, an unstable mind, by the way, is a big stronghold. A very, very powerful stronghold. Because when it grips you, you're always on the run. I remember, and do you know what happens? Because you're always on the run, you actually almost always leave a place when you're about to see something big. That's when the stronghold tells you, it's not working here. Find another place. So you're always thinking with your feet. There was a guy who was like that here. Very talented. He even came here and used to play for us, you know. Keyboard, I think. Very talented guy. But I could see that was his problem. I could see that he was too talented, but he had an unstable spirit. He had a spirit of instability. Okay, stronghold, not a spirit. Stronghold. So, he had been here, then he left here. Very, very, very good keyboardist. Perhaps one of the best, probably even the best in the country. Okay, at least in church circles. But then church circles have the best keyboardists also. Actually, they have the best instrumentalists, generally. But he's here, then he moves there. And then what happens is you get to a certain age and you feel that life has passed you by. And now, instead of stopping running, you actually run even faster. You understand? You see that? Because the reason life has passed you by is because if you had stuck in one place and said, let me see the blessings of this place, let me experience them, you would have moved on and you would be fine life. But you moved on and moved on and moved on and moved on. Now you find that you're in mid-40s and you look, take a stock of your life and there is nothing. Now, if you're a clever person, you would say, let me find one place to settle. And finally, let me settle. Then you settle. Amen? Yeah, but they usually don't do that. They usually just start running faster. If you would spend 6 months and then run, now you start spending 2 months and then you what? He runs. And now they continue digging. You know what they say? If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Yeah? They continue digging. Then the next thing, your life wastes away like that. And all because of not being stable. And he says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Now, I was telling you, those people who come and use selfishness. Okay, let's go back to the scripture. There's something I just want to use to illustrate it. Romans 16:18. So he says, but by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. They deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, let me tell you, they always use flattery. Flattery. Very, very powerful thing. When somebody is going to deceive you or beguile you or entice you, they will always tell you something you want to hear, that you desperately want to hear. Amen? And something which is close to the truth. Flattery is not real flattery if it is what? If it is unbelievable. It has to be believed. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll give you an example. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it to you again. And I read it from a book of Kenneth Hagin. He said in 1950, I think four, he was praying at some pastor's he was preaching at his church, and then so he was staying at the pastor's house. So in the evening they went to, you know, after dinner they knelt down to pray, and he said as soon as he knelt down, he got a vision, and the Lord was telling him that, let me show you how the devil defeats people and entices them away from the way. So the person he was showing him was the wife of this pastor, the ex-wife of this pastor who was kneeling right next to him. So he showed him how it all happened. One day she was there, she was a very beautiful lady and had a very good voice. So he saw, now he's seeing in a vision. And those visions, it can last a short while, but you've seen a lot. Eh? It's like not our time. You know, it can communicate so much in a matter of just 30 seconds. And it's very brief and it's telling you a lot. Anyway, so he said that he saw the lady married to this. And the pastor was a denominational pastor, not all that big, you know. A simple man. So he saw a demon. A small demon like a monkey come and sit on her shoulder and then started telling her that you're too beautiful and you have such a nice voice and you're wasting your life away with this pastor. In the world you'd be famous, you'd be known all over, you know, you'd be big. Now she knew what was happening, so she cast the devil out and said, Satan, get away in Jesus' name. Then he said he saw the monkey jump down from the shoulder, you know, as if it had been, you know, beaten badly. Then it ran screaming, and it went. But then it came back after some time and said the same things. You're too beautiful. You're wasting your time in this man's whatever, married to this man. In the world, you'd be big. She cast it away again. It went. Came back, cast it away, it went. But after some time of repeat, you know, the devil has time. Okay, he doesn't have time, but you know, and he has patience. Eh? Even Jesus, it says after he had defeated him in the wilderness, he said he left him to come back at an opportune time. He always comes back. Eh? So you defeat him today, he says, okay, the wrong sons already stayed. I will come back what? At a later time. So anyway, it kept on coming back. Then he said, now in the vision, he could see she started receiving those thoughts and actually thinking them. Then she said, now he saw a black thing, like a small black thing, just a very, very tiny black thing go in her mind. You know, her mind was like transparent, and she saw the tiny thing going there. So she started thinking on it, thinking about it. Then the very tiny thing started becoming bigger, bigger. To cut a long story short, eventually she left her husband and went into the world. And to pursue what the devil told her. She was going to be a very big person and so on. But she ended up just eventually, you know, she was very beautiful. So she ended up just eventually moving from one man to another to another. So nothing of what the devil promised was materializing as he had said. He's a liar, you know. So one day they tried to talk her back to husband, you know, reconcile. She said, I'm not interested in going back. I can't go back. What? Of course, the thing had become now big in her mind. So now all this he's seeing it needing there. Then one day he saw a pastor from her denomination come with a Bible. And he went to a hotel and he knew she was there. So he went and knocked on the door. And he knew she was inside there. Now she came out and she saw him. And she knew what he had come to tell her. So she said with a deep conviction that leave me alone. I want absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. Now as soon as she said that, he saw what was in the mind shift down to her spirit. And then he even saw her going to hell. And she was still alive. But the Lord was showing that now it's sealed. She has made up her mind. She doesn't want it to have anything to do with me. Now you see, and he explained to him that it has nothing to do with her sleeping with men or her. So he says, if you are under pressure and what, and you deny Jesus under pressure, it does not count. You see, if they put a pistol on your head, say deny Jesus, you can deny him and receive him. it does not count. But it is different when you do it knowing. First of all, you have to have reached a certain level of what? Of maturity. And you have to know exactly what you're doing. So she said it firmly. I don't want to have anything to do with Christ. Then he said, now, you know that's also an unpardonable sin? Then Kenneth Hagin, being who he is, he told the Lord, show me where it is in the scripture. So he showed it to him. I'll give you that scripture another day. He showed him, you know, that Hebrews 6 and said that she had qualified all that. Says, having, you know, that thing of testing the powers of the age to come. Says, for it is possible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Go ahead. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. First of all, you have to have reached a certain level of spirituality for you to qualify for this. It's not for everybody. Amen? You saw all those conditions. So I don't want you to get scared. That can happen to you. But the point is, you received Jesus by accepting him. But you can unreceive him. By the truth is this. You cannot unreceive him by what you do. Amen? You can unreceive him by denying him. The same way you received him, the same way what? You unreceive him. What she said, what she did. Now you can say, somebody sinned and what? That does not take away the fact that you're what? because you did not receive him by stopping sinning. Did you? Yeah. Now, of course, that is hard gospel for some people. But you find a church which suits you. But for us, we are in the word of God. Praise the Lord. Anyway. So now, they use flattery. Flattery is the means. Now, of course, the devil will come and say, you are too beautiful and you have a nice voice. Of course, he cannot come and tell me I have a nice voice. I will not believe it. So flattery has to be something that is true. But is blown out of proportion. Because if the devil came and told me you have a nice voice, I would say, Satan, get lost. I know you're lying. So there are certain things which are what? Which are obviously not true, and he cannot even use them. But he will say something which is true. And there are always some. And just flatter you and flatter you. Anyhow, so as soon as that happens, now here is the interesting thing. As soon as that happens and you commit that unpardonable sin, now something incredible happens. Like the Spirit of God just withdraws from you. Let me tell you, even the worst murderer has the Spirit of God. That's why they can get born again if they choose to. But now when you've committed that, he withdraws and it's like you are alive, but you're already in hell. Anyway, let me not go there. I don't want to scare you. But, so, even the servants of the devil, even those who don't know, not every servant of the devil knows a servant of the devil. They use flattery. They use flattery. Amen? Yeah. Now, there was one who was here in our choir, very good, and I liked her. Then somebody came and told her that, no, you're supposed to be the admin. Huh? You're not supposed to be in choir. That was the end of her here. She became wayward, very angry, very what? I'm like, now me, I can't stand that. Like, if you're angry, go and be angry somewhere else. Like, there are so many places you can be angry. Hmm? Now, that is a flattery. Then there was another one who was told that I'm about to leave the ministry and join politics. He's going to take over from me. Also, him, we had to let him what? Go. That's how it works. Like, somebody comes and gives you some pipe dream. And that's how let me tell you, the devil has his tricks, and they are the same throughout. You are walking in a certain path, growing in faith, becoming bigger. Then he comes and stretches you in a certain place where you can't handle. And then suddenly now you lose yourself. Let me tell you this story. It happened to a friend of mine who was, I've never seen somebody who walked, you know, we used to read those Kenneth Hagin books of faith and what. Now, this guy really took it to heart. To an extent, so did I, but I don't think I've seen anybody who really took it to heart like him. The guy lived by faith, really by faith. Now, he started his ministry, got an office somewhere in Imbarara, got an office and what? Everything about him was faith. I spent a few nights in his house, and there was a big, he says, do not be afraid, only believe. And that was his what? The mantra of his life. Don't be afraid, only be. So woke up one morning, we had like a light breakfast. Then in the late afternoon, we were hungry. Eh? Then we said, but man, what are we going to eat? Then he said, let's believe God for lunch. Believe God for lunch. That's how he was. So now me, I was looking at him saying, you guys. Because in my mind, I alienated myself in my mind. I thought believing God for lunch, it's going to come like 10 lunches away. So the guy said, no, God is going to bring it. Now we sat there. It took like 20 minutes. Somebody came with a quart of matoke, with meat and what. And then I was seated there. Then he came and said, hey, Joseph, God has already delivered. And that's how he, not just once, that was every day. Every time, like, he really believed, and it always worked for him. Now, he went and got a church, which was in a cinema there. And his ministry, his congregation was small. So the amount of money he had to pay, he could not get it from, you know, the congregation. So he always had to believe God. And he had been there, I think, close to 2 years. And every month, he got the money for it on the time, on the dot. Really living by faith. No stories, by faith. So one day he hosted a powerful man of God from Kampala, whom he used to apparently look up to because the guy used to talk prosperity and so on. So he hosted him there. So the man came and looked at the church. Now he was believing God for a bigger congregation. So he came and said, this is powerful. Then the man of God told him that I'm going to pay your rent over for 6 months, over for 1 year, something like that. That was the end of my friend. That was the end of. He had been there 2 years. He had never once failed to pay rent. Not once. This guy came and told him he's going to pay for him rent for 1 year. So the guy came, boarded, bus came to Kampala, went to the guy's church saying, yeah, where is the money? The guy did not even see him. He did not even want to see him. That was just talk. And he expected that this guy knew, but this guy wasn't like that. You see, there are people who talk like rubbish, and they think everybody else is like that. So he even looks at you and says, you mean you took me serious? Like, and he has messed you up. So now what happened is 1 month passed, another month passed. He's waiting for his, I think, 1 year The third month passed. Now he's not paying. Then after 3 months, he came to Kampala now to come and plead with the man, give me the money. What? The man told him, listen, I'm not going to give you the money, so don't bother coming back here. So he went. Now, there were some used to hire, you know, these instruments. Now, the Muyindi who owned the place locked the place with the instruments, which were not his. And then the owner of the instruments went to police, what? The guy ended up in jail. Then when he went to jail, there is a Korean church. Those Korean churches and what? They heard about that and they were starting and they needed that. So they told him, we can rescue you, pay for, you know, the arrears of the rent. These people get their instruments and, you know, we pay for you. And you come and become an assistant pastor here. So he accepted. It's a sad story. You know, it's a really sad, but it's a sad story. And like, if you know the person I'm looking at, I used to look up to him in this faith thing. So he went to become assistant pastor with his congregation. People still believed in him, went with him. Now, each day they told him, but you see, you cannot be a pastor here unless we've trained you. Now they took him for Bible school in Korea. And you see those Bible schools which take every spirituality and every faith out of you. They squeeze it out of you like, you know, have you ever seen the way they do espresso? Those of you who take coffee, they get a dry bean and squeeze it to get very conk coffee. Now, those people, if there is even the slightest spirituality in you or any faith in you, they will squeeze it until you have nothing left. So you go there, they teach you afresh how to be a pastor. You've been a pastor for years. There is no way you can come from those Bible schools and you have faith or spirituality. They reduce the Bible to a textbook. And it's like reading a real textbook of Israel. Like it is, those Bible schools are the seat of the devil. Like they totally, because they take away the profundity of the Bible. Anyway, so he went and studied there. Then came back. But unfortunately, the story doesn't even end there. As soon as he came back, he died. But now I looked, and this is a friend of mine, a real friend of mine. I saw if that man of God had not messed him up, he was doing okay. And you see, people think that faith is some mystery. Faith is depending on God. There is nobody more dependable than God. He's more dependable than a job. He's more dependable. You see, but people make it look like you're some kind of, you know, confused person. You mean you have faith? Faith is depending on God. When you learn it, you'll be so relaxed when everything else is falling apart outside of you. Anyway, and that's how that gentleman was. So anyway, he passed on, and the story was so sad, sad. Anyway, even the man of God who deceived him passed on also. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see, now, how did I even get there? Okay. Smooth words and flattering speech. Oh, you're so powerful. We are going to give you this and what. And now that thing is a very, very... But what I want to talk about today is what Jacob, Israel, told his son, Reuben, that because you are unstable, you will not excel. Now that's the thing. If you find unstable as water, you shall not excel. Okay, forget about the other things he did. Because I don't expect you to what? To go and do that. But he says, unstable as water, you will not excel. Now, when you are that kind of person who cannot go and sit in a place and say, I'm going to get the blessings from this place, but you're always on your feet, running around, you actually, when you take stock of your life, let's say 3 years, you realize the person whom you left in that place where you went when you were angry has moved on, and for you, still running, looking for the perfect ministry where everybody is perfect. Praise the Lord. Now, that is a what? That is a stronghold. That instability, it can grip you, and I'm hoping none of you is like that, but it can grip somebody, and like you don't have any form of comfort of saying, I'm okay here. There's nothing wrong here. I'm learning something here. Okay? Maybe at some stage, if the Lord leads me to move on, I will move on. But now I'm comfortable here. But you see, you're always on get set. ready to jump and go. And actually, in that process of perpetual moving is where you lose your blessings. And the one thing that is sad about those people, and I've seen so many of them, like really just know I've seen many of them. One thing that is sad about them is when you look at them when they become old and they're like my age. And they have, okay, not that I'm old, you see. Ah, my God. But you see, it is sad to get to a certain age when you don't have anything that you put your hold on, that you're pursuing and say this is something that, you know, you don't have any clear sense of direction of your life. This is what my life is going to be like. When you're still looking around, imagine you're 45, 50, and you're still looking around. Should I be here? Should I be here? Man, it is sad. It's so sad. Just don't be that kind of person. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you knowing that there is that. Let's read one more scripture, then read the last one. Hebrews 3:14 says, Hebrews, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, this is where you become a partaker of Christ. You hold on to something. Because when you discovered that thing, when you discovered that place, when you discovered that revelation, it was precious. Now, hold on to it. You see, it's so easy for people to forget. The other day in our prayer group, I was telling people, when you're praying, pray from scripture. Don't pray for something unless you have a scripture which clearly promises it. Amen? Because when you're praying, you're not making God do anything that he hasn't already done through Christ. Everything that you're ever going to need was done in Christ. So you pick a scripture and say, this is what you promised. And you pray from that scripture. And you say, this is what you promised. And you handle, you know, your prayer from that scripture. So I taught it to our prayer people. Then yesterday I told them, let's pray for some, you know, something. I won't tell you what we're praying about. Then after praying for like an hour, I came and told them, so what scripture are you using? What scripture are you using? In 2 weeks, they had already forgotten that I told them, pray from a scripture. Don't pray. When you're praying, get a promise from God that clearly promises what you're praying for. And say, you promised this. You see, It seems simple, but it is very, very profound. Anyway, so he says, in just 2 weeks, they had forgotten. Now, the other day, I told you about let each one give as he has purposed. Come with. Some of you have already forgotten. True? You've forgotten. Okay, if I ask genuinely, I'm not asking. If I ask genuinely, how many of you purposed something you're going to give here today? You will see. Either you lie or it will be like a quarter of you. And you see, now it says, for we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence to the end, when you learn something, let it be a part of you. Because life is full of learning. When you learn how to swim, you don't go and start learning again. Even after 10 years, you fall in the water, you can swim, isn't it? Some of you can't swim. So you don't know. Okay? Yeah. If you learn how to drive, let's say now like me who learned how to drive with those stick shifts. You remember those ones? Now some of you, if I give it to you, you can't even move it. Huh? Because you learned how to drive with this automatic. Tuama, can you drive a stick shift? I told you. Now, it is in. Once you learn it, it's in your head. Now, the other day, somebody gave it to me. And all it takes is just brushing off for 5 minutes, and you're back in the groove. Because I drove it for like 3 years before I got into automatic. But don't worry, you're not my age. For you, when you started driving, there were no what? Those manual, they call them manual, stick shift. Yeah. Now even, those days even driving schools, you had to learn on stick shift. Even if you were going to drive. But now driving schools, people learn on what? on automatic, so it's like you're driving a toy car. Praise the Lord. Anyway, if we hold confidence, steadfast. So that, just like it is in the world, when you learn something, you learnt it. You've learnt it. You know, you've learnt a computer program. But you see, in church, you learn, then you forget, then you learn, then you have to keep on being reminded. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, now let's read 2 Corinthians 10:3. Now let's read it with the eyes of what I've taught you about strongholds. Now read this knowing what I've taught you about strongholds. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. First, leave it there. We do not war according to the flesh. Okay? Remember, I told you what the flesh is. Okay? Remember what I told you about the flesh? Yes, okay. Now, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not conduct our war according to the flesh. Then it goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not fleshy, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, I don't want you to think about this in the old-fashioned church way. Of you are putting out strongholds, you're wasting your time. Okay? And we used to do that a lot. A lot. We'd go to places where people are drinking and buying the demons of what? Of alcohol. And guess what would happen? People would continue drinking. Like it's a total waste of time. That's not how you handle it. That's not how you handle it. Amen? Now, and yet the demons are actually there. But as long as the people there are practicing, you have no right to chase away the demons. When the people are transformed themselves, by you preach the gospel, the demons will have to go by themselves. Because they are welcomed by the people who are there. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for putting down strongholds. The other day I was up there listening and the choir was practicing. And we are singing that song by Ron Kenoly. Going up to the high places. How many of you know it? Huh? To tear the devil's kingdom down. Eh? So I told them, don't sing that song. That's not scripture. The devil's kingdom is down, not up. In relation to where we are, the devil's kingdom is what? Down. For we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we don't go up. There is no place higher than Christ Jesus. The devil is not higher than Christ Jesus. But you see, because you're thinking carnally, you're not thinking spiritually, that you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. So now you can't say, I'm going up. Going up from where? In relation to where you are, the devil is what? He's down. So you say, I'm going down to what? To the low places. Anyway, so for putting down strongholds. Now remember, the strongholds which we have been talking about. Okay, go ahead. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, here is where people have a problem. Because it says casting down arguments. They cast out, all they understand is casting out demons. Because that is the only part of fighting Satan that they got to know. Casting out demons. But it says casting down arguments. And you don't know all the demonic activity in what is called the second heaven is there to influence what you think. Praise the Lord. Is there to influence what you think and ultimately how you behave. So it is all here. All here. If he can come and make you disqualify yourself from prosperity, disqualify yourself from healing, and it's a stronghold inside you, then the devil has achieved his purpose. Now he goes to the world, he makes them think weird things. Like some of the things we see in those Western world. The other day I was seeing in Ireland, they were arresting a man because he refused his child, a minor, to go and do a gender change operation, sex change operation. Can you imagine? And they were arresting the man. You know those people are stupid, eh? Like, stupidity rests in those places. Eh? I'm telling you, a child cannot buy alcohol, a child cannot drive, a child cannot do, but they can decide I want to be a boy when she's a girl. And they go and they cut off her breasts and what? And give her an artificial something, which does not even function. Because you cannot emulate God. God is God. You see, eh? Yeah. So they will give you some flesh. They will cut it off from your hand. And give you some flesh down there. but he does not respond. Whereas God made his which responds without what? Without any problems. Which responds to stimuli. Now, then they go and, like, stupid people. Then they go and get gay men and give them, pump them with what? Hormones. And they develop breasts. Then they cut off what? The thing which responds. And like, okay, it is stupidity. Yeah? Like, just stupid. Like, it is unbelievable. But the devil, the things the devil does. Now, the second is just to influence people's mind. And they think that's normal. And he has messed people. Now, when you understand that, casting down arguments. Now, you know that you fight strongholds by casting down an argument. It comes in form of an argument. You know, this is what? Cast it down. To the knowledge and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And now it says, bringing every thought into captivity. Because that's where the action, the strongholds, and the devil's kingdom tries to implant itself. Every thought. So you get a thought of this, you say, no, that is not right, I'm not going to do it. Amen? A thought comes, you bring it into captivity. Like, capture the thought and be in control of your thoughts. Now, that's how you bring down strongholds. Different strongholds. So if you have a stronghold, let's say of poverty, as we've spoken, or a stronghold of instability, unstable, you're unstable, you're all over the place. You see? When your mind tells you, things are not working here, let's find another place, you bring that thought into captivity and say, I've only been here 1 month. I can't determine if things are working or not working. What did I expect to get in 1 month? At least let me give it 1 year or 2 years. Then I will determine. You see, now it comes as a thought and you obey it. Then it becomes a stronghold. Because it comes as a thought, you do it, thought, you do it, thought, you do it, then now it becomes your nature. So now, how do you undo it? The thought comes, you refuse. The thought comes, you refuse. The thought comes, you refuse. Then eventually it starts dying down, dying down, dying down. Then that stronghold is broken. Do you understand? Now, don't go and cast demons. No. It's here in your thoughts. If you have a stronghold of lust, you can say, I'm not going to look a second time. Now, that sounds very what? Simplistic, but it is not. So, because every time you see a beautiful girl, you're like, and even saliva falls. Now, you just determine, you look once and look the other side. And bring every thought into what? Into captivity. To the obedience of Christ. It sounds funny and a joke, but it is not. Eventually, you start not looking the second time. And eventually, that stronghold will die. If you have a stronghold of anger, every time you feel like getting angry, tell yourself, I will not. And even psych yourself in the morning, I'm not going to get angry. So then somebody does something which is going to make you angry, then you swallow it. And you be full like... But you swallow it. You swallow it for only 1 month and afterwards you stop getting angry. And that stronghold is defeated. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you defeat these strongholds, you will improve don't deceive yourself that your life is going to improve while you remain stationary. Nothing about you changes. You have strongholds of anger, of jealousy, of no love, you know, of hatred, of malice. These things, you fight them. Praise the Lord. There's a time I had no car, and I had such a need for a car, such a need for a car. You have no idea. I had such, because if you've once had a car and then you don't have it, like, that's a very miserable thing. Because if you've never had it, it's okay. Somehow you know how to what? To maneuver. But if you've driven a car for 5 years and then suddenly you don't have it, you feel like you've been exposed badly. So, I told some friend of mine that right now, any car, even a Karaum, I would appreciate it if God gave it to me. Then he looked at me and said, ha, go and hang of Karaum. I said, it's a car. I'll sit inside there and it will take me where I'm going. Then I said, what's wrong with a Raum? Now that, of course, was a strong word of poverty, also talking. Yeah? Then I said, what's wrong with what? With the Rahum. Then he looked at me and told, kaini engerije kakunafuya. then I got to the point. Anyway. But it's also those are strong. You know, you can be squeezed in a place that all your thoughts are like strong, like poverty is all over. Like you start settling for very, very small things. Praise the Lord. Anyway, says, against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Go ahead. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? Being able to punish all disobedience is you punish disobedience when you've successfully quashed that stronghold. Okay? Now, the way I went and got rid of the stronghold of poverty. And now, yeah, I punish disobedience by having money. When what? When the obedience is fulfilled. Like, it's something I would need more time to explain, more time than we have. Eh? But now you start giving out the what? The Holy Communion. but anyway, now you know. Eh? Okay, what's the next verse? What does the next verse say? Verse 7. Okay, even. I think I've said everything I'm going to say. So now, I don't want any strongholds. First of all, today I spoke about a stronghold. I've spoken about a number of them. I spoke about the stronghold of poverty. I spoke about the which other one? Survival. Now today I've spoken about the stronghold of instability, not being stable, where you're always on the move. You're not comfortable, like, you know. So get rid of that one also. You can settle in a place and actually get the best of it, or you can settle in a business and get the best of it. People whom you see who are successful in certain businesses, they have been there through thick and thin. If the first time he got a loss, he runs away, he would not be rich. You understand? But if he's convinced that this is my business, I can make it work, he will make one loss and another until eventually pulls it through and then becomes successful. Then you find him successful and you know, and you will not be unless you have that stability of knowing that, okay, the first time it didn't work out, eh? But I tried it the second time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 11. Go to verse 20. It says, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Or is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another one is drunk. Go ahead. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Go ahead. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Go ahead. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, I want you to know this. I just want to tell you this in case you have not heard me saying this before. The scripture does not say whoever drinks this, eats the body and drinks the blood and is unworthy. It says, does it in an unworthy manner. So it's not the man who is unworthy, it is the way he eats the Lord's Supper that is unworthy. And it cautioned them earlier, because for them they would actually have a meal. They would actually have bread. So he said some come and eat a lot before others and are full. And others come and drink too much wine and are drunk. And he says they despise the ordinance that the Lord gave. Then he cautioned them that if you do it in an unworthy manner, then you eat the body. I mean, you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, what religion taught people is that some people are unworthy of the Lord's what? Of Holy Communion, which is not true. It's not the man who is unworthy, it's the manner in which you eat. And he cautioned them, do it respectfully. So that's why in some places they will say, first repent of all sins you've done and what. We don't do that here. Praise the Lord. Because it is not... There was an indiscipline. I want you to read the scripture for what it is. Eh? There was an indiscipline in the way they would do it. People come and eat a lot of food and then others don't eat. Then some drink. I'm imagining like a whole bottle of wine. Then others have no what? Nothing to use for the purpose of Holy Communion. Then some get drunk. That's why he said some of you die when you're young. Not because you are unworthy. You are worthy. You see, eh? You are worthy. It is the way, if you disrespect it, then that's what can actually cause you trouble. Now, he goes ahead to say, man, I will be guilty of the body. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Go ahead. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, this is where they messed it up. Let him examine himself. Am I doing it respectfully? Okay? Like with everything about God, reverence. Like I even told you the issue of, let's say the subject of giving. You can give in a way which is, it's like you're despising God. Like you are giving him a tip, as if he's a waiter. But then you can give respectfully. And now you examine yourself. How am I giving? Am I giving? And now it's not about the amount. It's about the attitude with which you give. So am I giving respectfully? There was a man who was, they told me was at a restaurant. So they served him and then he got a very old 1,000 shilling note and gave it as a tip to the waiter. And then the waitress, when she was walking out, he said, hey, first come, first come. Then he took the 1,000 shilling note and said, but then later, tomorrow I'm going to church. This is what I will give. Now that's religious giving. Now you have to examine yourself. Am I treating God as if he's a waiter? So now even here, it's the same thing. When you're taking Holy Communion, are you taking it reverentially, knowing that this is the body and this is the blood of Christ? It's not saying are you worthy. No, it's about how are you taking it. You understand? So that is the examining he's talking about. Let everyone examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Go ahead. So he says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, notice, unworthy manner, not unworthy person, unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Listen, he does not say eats and drinks judgment because he has sins which are unrepented. No, because he has not discerned that this is the body of the Lord. That's where the problem comes. Okay, then he goes ahead to say, verse 30, for this reason many are weak and many sick among you and many sleep or die. Now, the key thing is, it has to be done with reverence, knowing this is just bread and wine. But when we sanctify it as we are going to do, it represents truly the body and the blood of Jesus. So you have to take it with reverence because Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? Amen? So now let's get rid of the religious thing of, you know, you are... first repent, first what? Roll in the mud and what? No. You're worthy. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm worthy. Okay. Now the Lord Jesus, on the night on which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take it. This is my body, which was broken for you. Now the Lord's body was broken so that your body doesn't have to be broken. So as you take this, believe God for divine health. Believe God and receive divine health, because this is the body of Jesus Christ. And it was broken. It was broken. That's why he broke the bread, so that your body doesn't have to be broken. Praise the Lord. So now, as you take this, I want you to say, I receive divine health. Say it. Okay. Father, we thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus. for this bread and this wine, which we sanctify for this purpose of holy communion, and we receive it by faith and in obedience to your word, which you gave on the Last Supper. Now, even so as you did with your disciples, we take of your body and of your blood, and we receive with the body divine health, healing and divine health. So you can have, you can eat your bread. And after he had done that, he said, this is the cup of his blood of the new covenant. And so he says, as often as you take this in remembrance of me. So when you take this, you receive all the blessings and every promise that Christ died for you to have in the new covenant. In other words, you're taking the new covenant with all its promises and all its blessings. So I want you to have that mindset as you drink, you know, the blood of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon each and every person here in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because you do wonderful things in our midst. I thank you because we enter a time of realization of what exactly and who exactly we are in you. Now, in the name of Jesus, a blessing that opens doors in Jesus' name. Doors are opened for you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And every sickness is healed, even of relatives, in the name of Jesus. Even of people whom you left home who are sick, in the name of Jesus. Receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. In the name of Jesus. And receive the blessing of the Lord here this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That was The Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at The Watchman Grounds, opposite Mukwaya Hospital, near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email at ugwatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.